Now, tell us a little bit about these endangered owls that you're studying.
So Tasmanian mast owls are endangered, which is quite a shame because they're a magnificent animal. They're the size of maybe like a big rooster, I guess.
Okay.
They're a top predator in the Tasmanian forest. We're quite concerned about them because, I mean, we're logging habitat across Tasmania at a quite alarming rate. But unfortunately for mast owls, we know so little about them that we're probably losing habitat before we even know how to identify it. So that's kind of what sparked this research, is an urgent need for really fundamental information about our population so that we can learn how best to protect them in the context of habitat loss in the state.
Wow. Do you know how many individual owls are left out there? Do you have a rough estimate since you've been doing this research?
Well, I guess it really highlights just how little we know about mast owls. I can't actually even give you a moderately reliable estimate. The number that's often quoted is about 1,000, but that number is effectively just, it's a guesstimate at best. So that's why we need to really urgently improve the state of information about these birds.
Wow. So how did you guys land on the decision to start using sniffer puppies to help learn more about these owls?
Yeah, well, because obviously they're an owl, they live in the forest and they're most active at night time. So traipsing around in the forests in the daytime can be tough enough, but doing it at night is sometimes actually just downright dangerous in the rugged bushland where they live. So we've decided that clearly we need to find a safer method, but also a more efficient method. So one of our poor students has been out in the forest for the last month or so using a traditional technique for surveying for these owls, which is playing their song and hoping that they respond so that you can tell whether a bird's there or not.
Oh, wow.
And in over 850 surveys across southern Tasmania, he only detected 30 owls this way.
Poor student.
Yeah, it's a really low strike rate. So that Pumbaga was out in the forest, all night long, finishing work at 6 a.m. or whatever, and just rarely, rarely encountering an owl. So with that kind of hopelessly low strike rate, we really need to have a more efficient method. And that's why we kind of were thinking creatively and outside the box. And that's how we settled on owl detector dogs, because anyone that's been to an airport and had an orange or something in their bag detected by a dog at the airport knows that these animals are incredibly efficient at detecting things invisible to the human eye. And we thought we'd apply that superpower to this kind of niche situation.
So how exactly do the sniffer dogs help? What are they looking for when they're sniffing around?
So basically owls can only digest the meat inside their prey, but the fur and the bones they can't digest. And in a very similar way to a cat, they basically vomit up these like pellets, what they're called. It's like a cat fur ball. And luckily the fur and bones in those pellets tend to be very long lasting. And so a pellet will actually sit on the forest floor for years sometimes.
Wow.
Which means that they're, not only quite stinky, but also really persistent. And so it's a really good target for a dog. And with amazing DNA technology these days, if we find pellets, we're actually going to be able to identify the DNA of the individual owl that vomited it up, and that'll enable us to use this kind of slightly strange approach to actually basically identify individual owls across the forest.
Oh my gosh, this is so innovative. I think that this is a really, really interesting way to be approaching this whole conservation effort. Zorro is the 19-week-old puppy who is training to help with this research. How did you connect with Zorro? How did he get involved with the project?
So Zorro's owner is joining our lab. She's going to be doing her master's on whether we can train Zorro plus one other pup to detect owl pellets. And that's why we've turned to this crowdfunding campaign. It's called Operation Owl Dog, to be really really precise about it. And we basically turned to crowdfunding because it's such a novel technique. There's really not any alternative funding sources available. So that's why we decided, well, look, it's a pretty cute puppy and a pretty kind of neat idea. Maybe people will be interested in helping us to get a job for Zorro.
He is a really cute puppy. I've got to say, I've got a photo of him up on the screen right now. How's the training going so far? Has the training started? How's he going?
Yeah, well, that's why because he's a puppy, this is why there's a bit of a rush to make sure that we get this underway as soon as possible, because we really want to get the training started ASAP while he's still little, because ideally what you want is for a working dog like this to associate, well, in this case, the smell of owl pellets with lots of puppy fun time, so that when he's actually working later on as an adult, that, you know, finding owl pellets is effectively just a continuation of his puppy playtime.
It's the best time. It's the best thing he can do.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so really, we need to kind of lock in our funding before he gets too old, so that we can make sure that he's really got the best possible kind of attitude towards finding owl pellets. And so far, he seems to have a really kind of positive approach to it. I think because pellets are stinky and dogs like stinky things, let's put it like this, it's a lot of work to try and stop him from eating the owl pellets that we've given him so far.
Oh, I'm sure that there are all sorts of challenges you'll find pop up in this training process.
Exactly.
You didn't think would be. But dogs have been used quite successfully in conservation and in research efforts, especially with animals. I know here, I think it was in New South Wales, they were using dogs to track koala populations or something along those lines not that long ago. So it's definitely a very viable tool to be used. And you know, Zorro obviously enjoys it if you're having trouble pulling him away from the pellets. Win-win.
In fact, the people that train those koala poo dogs, we're collaborating with them, and that's partly why we're raising money, so that we can make sure that we can get Zorro up to Queensland to train with the owl poo dog, and we can get the Queenslanders to come down to Tasmania to help us with in-situ training for Zorro.
This is great. We're getting a community of poo-sniffing, vomit-sniffing dogs all around the world helping save other animals. So how can people financially contribute? How are we asking people to get on board and help?
So if you can Google Operation Owl Dog, or you can go to Possible, which is Possible with a Z, online, and there you'll find a photo of a masked owl with a very clear Donate Now button. Alternatively, you can go to our research group website, which is difficultbirds.com.
There you'll
also find a Donate button.
I like it. We'll pop some links on the podcast at the end of the show. Dion, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Best of luck with all of Zorro's training.
Thanks a bunch.